Hello, my friends, and welcome to another sermon on the good life. We're in the middle of this series looking at the Beatitudes of Jesus, these statements that Jesus makes about the good life, the blessed life, a life of true fulfillment and satisfaction. And today, we are in the fourth week, which means we're looking at the fourth Beatitude, and it's found in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 6. And Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know what this beatitude is about? It's about desire. It's about longing. And in this beatitude, Jesus is offering us an invitation, a chance for us to lift the hood up on our souls a bit and ask ourselves, what motivates me? What drives me? What are my deepest desires and longings? And then let's take it one step further. How am I going after those desires? What are the actions that I'm taking so that I may fulfill the desires that I hold within? And what's really, really important for us all to see as we begin here is Jesus is actually affirming desire as something that is good. I know sometimes desire can be seen as a bad thing. Maybe you've heard it taught as a bad thing before. Well, desire, I don't know about that. You got to be really careful with desire because desires, they could lead you away from God. They could walk you down a path that isn't good for you, that actually could destroy your life. Yeah, desire is something that is really, really strong. Desires are powerful. They shape us. They cause us to act in certain ways. But we must realize that Jesus is actually saying desire is something that is good. It is God-given, and our desires can actually lead us down a path toward the good life. If you'll notice, Jesus doesn't say, "Blessed are those who have no hunger, who have no thirst." He's not saying, "Blessed are you when you desire nothing." Instead, he's saying, "Be mindful of how you go about satisfying your desires." Notice this illustration that he uses. "Blessed are those who hunger, for they will be filled." Whenever you're hungry, your stomach starts grumbling. What do you want? You want to be filled. You want food in your belly. Your body is saying, "Feed me right now." We're hungry, and we need food. The promise Jesus gives for those who are hungry, and we all know this feeling, is you will be filled. He's showing us the path here to true satisfaction, to true filling. Sure, there are ways in which we go after our desires that lead us down a false path. They offer a false sense of being filled, a filling that doesn't last, that doesn't sustain. Jesus here is offering us the path to true filling and true satisfaction. There's a brilliant quote about desire that I came across a couple years ago in this book, The Holy Longing, by Ronald Rollheiser. He says this, "Desire makes us act, and when we act, what we do will either lead to a greater integration or disintegration within our personalities, minds, and bodies, and to the strengthening or deterioration of our relationship to God, others, and the cosmic world." Yeah, how we act upon our desires, really important, because those actions can lead to greater integration, to greater wholeness, as he puts it, to a strengthening of our relationship with ourselves, with others, with God, with the world around us. We all know this to be true because we've experienced those moments. On the other hand, the way in which we go after our desires can lead us to disintegration, a breaking, a fracturing, a pulling apart of the wholeness that we desire. Yeah, we long deep within, I believe, for connectedness with ourselves, God, others, the world. And every action we take moves us in that direction towards greater connectedness, or it takes us away from connectedness. Let's go back to this illustration that Jesus uses about hunger and thirst. Hunger and thirst are two normal, common, everyday occurrences, are they not? Maybe right now, just the fact that I mentioned that, you're realizing that you're a bit hungry. Or maybe you're thirsty and you're about to hit pause here so you can get up off the couch, get some more food from the fridge, make some more breakfast, get something else to drink, and satisfy those cravings that you have. So hunger and thirst, they're normal. And they're really good for you because they're telling you, hey, your body needs something. It needs to be fueled so that you can keep going. You need food and drink in order to survive. If you didn't eat, if you didn't drink, you would die. So hunger and thirst, they're really good signals which keep us alive. Are they not? The same is true about desire. Desire is normal. Having desires, they're a normal part of life. I mean, just even the desire to go up and get a cup of coffee. That's a small desire, sure, but it's a desire. So desire is something that happens every single day. Sometimes we're aware of our desires. Other times we are not aware of our desires. So the first thing to realize is desire is normal. It happens to all of us. But here's another truth about hunger and thirst. We have a choice about how we will satisfy. Let's just simply take hunger. We have a choice about how we will satisfy our hunger. I was in the grocery store earlier today. And what's a grocery store but aisle upon aisle of food choices, ways in which we can satisfy our hunger cravings? So I picked out a couple of options, a couple of ways in which we could satisfy our hunger. We could go the path of Cheetos, the path of junk food, but apparently it is made with real cheese. There's one choice. Or we could walk a different path. We could make another choice. We could go the path of acorn squash and avocados, which this is actually a fruit. Avocados are a fruit, and little known fact, they contain more potassium than a banana. There's your nutrition fact for the day. So we have a choice. We could walk down one path of real food, which, let's be honest, this optimizes our health. It fuels our bodies in the way in which our bodies desire to be fueled. Or we can choose to walk down a path that you eat enough of these and it's not going to lead to optimal health. So whenever we're hungry, we have a choice in the matter. Which path will we walk down? How will we fuel our bodies? The same is true about desire. We have a choice. How will we go after the desires that we have? Look at it this way. Hunger, let's call it a base desire. It's at the bottom here. And then let's move it up a layer and let's go to secondary desires. It's the desire for a particular type of food. So maybe it is the Cheetos or the avocados, the acorn squashes. So hunger is that base desire, but then we have secondary desires, which are a layer up, which end up causing us to walk down a particular path. Think about the base desires that all of us have. And this is something that's true, I believe, about all of us who call ourselves human. We desire for wholeness. We have a longing for unity, connectedness. So let's call those desires base desires. Now, how we actually go about trying to achieve wholeness, trying to achieve connectedness, well, those could be secondary desires. Let's look at two phrases here. Have you ever used the phrase before? Maybe someone has come up to you and said this, my heart, it feels so full. Or my soul, it just feels so filled to the top right now. It's communicating that the way in which we are trying to satisfy our base desires, the actions that we've taken, they are leading to a life that is just overflowing with love and peace and joy. I mean, I'll have this feeling whenever I walk away from a great conversation with a friend. You ever have one of those conversations where you walk away, you feel like you were heard, and you were able to listen, and you connected at a deep level? You can't explain it, but there was this feeling that you had, and it was satisfying this desire that you had for connectedness. Or I'll feel it whenever I've spent good quality time with my family. There's just something that time like that does for your soul. And you walk away from that moment or from that experience and you're just overflowing love, joy, peace. It's just emanating out of your pores and it just flows out to everyone else that you happen to come across. There's nothing you need to do. It simply is just a product of that which you've experienced. You're feeling satisfied. You're feeling full because your actions have led to a filling or to a satisfying of what you truly want from life. Now, what about this phrase? My heart or my soul, it feels hollow, empty, lifeless. Whenever we say this, we are communicating that the way in which we've been trying to go after our desires isn't filling us. It's not leaving us satisfied or fulfilled. We're not walking a path that is true. Instead, we're on a path that's actually taking us away. The actions, the ways in which we are trying to satisfy our base desires is actually leaving us empty and hollow. It's not the truest path for us. In this beatitude, Jesus is offering us the truest path, the path to true filling. So, what is the path then that brings true fulfillment? Jesus says it's righteousness. It's having a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. It's having a desire for righteousness. Okay, righteousness is one of those really big religious theological words. So let's break it down a little bit. What exactly is righteousness? Righteousness is something that shows up time and time again throughout the book of Matthew. It's a common theme in Matthew's gospel. And righteousness for Matthew, it deals with ethics, how one lives one's life. And for Matthew, it's centered completely on Torah observance. And what is at the heart of Torah observance? It's all about how we organize our own individual lives and our collective life together. Torah observance is about how we go about living our lives in a way that brings connectedness and wholeness with ourselves, God, others, and the world around us. Let me give you an example of this, or let me show you how Matthew breaks it down and how Jesus actually breaks it down a little further, a little later in Matthew's gospel. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. And Jesus has been doing a whole lot of teaching. We're told, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. Sadducees, Pharisees, two different religious groups of people. Now, one of them, one of the Pharisees, an expert in the law, tested Jesus with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Talking about the Torah. What's the greatest commandment? How do we observe the Torah? How do we fulfill the law, the Torah that God has given? How do we live the life that God desires for us to live? A life of, we could say, righteousness. Here's what Jesus says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments. What's the path to righteousness? loving God with everything you have within you, and loving your neighbor as yourself. See, the two of these are intertwined. How you love God is made visible, it's made tangible, we could say, by how it is that you love your neighbor. What's the type of life that we are to desire? What's the type of life that brings us to satisfaction and fulfillment? It's a life of love. And a life of love for who? For your neighbor. And who's your neighbor? Is it just the person that lives in the next apartment over? Or the people that live on your block? Does it extend beyond your block to your county, your state, your nation? Jesus has answered this question elsewhere. Your neighbor, every single person walking this planet. The ones that you'll meet and the ones that you will never meet. What's the type of life that leads us to the good life? It's a life of care, concern, a life of looking after, truly loving every single person. It's simple, right? It sounds like one of those Sunday school answers. What's the answer? It's love. Yeah, try living that out on a daily basis. It's difficult. It's complex. It gets messy. It's hard enough loving the people that we see each week. I mean, it's hard enough loving the people that you live in the same household with all the time. I mean, just try loving even the people that you never come face to face with, or the people that you really, really disagree with. See, what the Torah is all about, it's about creating a life that is sustainable for every single person. A life that leaves no one behind. A life where all people are treated fairly. Where all people are respected. A life of self-interest. A life of pleasing yourself. It's not the life of true satisfaction. It might feel good for a while. Things might feel great for a particular time. But ultimately, that way of life, pursuing yourself, it's never going to truly fill you. But rather, a life of care, self-sacrifice, a life of putting the good of others before simply your own good. A life that is good for all of us. A life that works to protect the life of others. To bring food to those who are hungry. To provide education and shelter. Fair wages. Clean water. That is the type of life that brings fulfillment and satisfaction. That is the righteousness that Jesus says, you desire this, you walk this path, and you will be filled. Allow that hunger for all people to benefit in life. Allow that hunger for the common good of all people and the world that we live in to be that which drives you and which motivates you. Now, here's another question for us. How do we cultivate this type of desire? Because sometimes it can be difficult, right? Sometimes it's easier for us just to look after our own needs. And look, there are times when we have to take care of ourselves. I get it. Yes, very important for our health. Very important so that we can engage the world and bring healing to the world. So I'm not saying don't take care of yourself and always put others before yourself. But how do we cultivate a healthy balance? How do we cultivate a hunger and a desire for the common good of all people? Let's go back to our food illustration. Here's what's true about food. The more of these that you eat, the more of these you're going to want. While the more of these you eat, the more of these you're going to want. The more junk food you put into your body, the more junk food your body's going to crave. The more whole, real food you're going to put in your body, the more whole, real food that your body will desire. Eat these for the next 30 days. I guarantee you, you're going to be addicted. You're going to be on a path that says, give me more of these. Our actions work in the same way. The more we do of something, the more we end up desiring it. The more love we offer, the more times we sacrifice, we give of ourselves to help others, to bring healing, to work to restore places in our world that are broken, the more we are going to desire that type of life. Why? Because loving others, caring for others, it brings fulfillment. It brings filling to our souls and to our hearts. And as we experience that, that will capture your heart. You'll become addicted to that way of living, and you're going to want more and more of that. Yeah, we are wired for connectedness. It's a desire that God has placed within each of our souls. And that desire for connectedness, as we live that out, as we act in a way that brings greater integration and unity to this world, it'll bring a filling. It will leave your heart filled with joy and peace. That is going to make you want to keep walking that path. So this week, may you hunger and thirst for righteousness. May those base desires that you have within for wholeness, integration, connectedness, may those drive you. May they cause you to act in a way that fills you, that satisfies you, that leads you into the good life that you truly desire. And as you extend love to others, as you keep acting in love for all people, as you show care and concern, respect for all people, may that fuel you in a direction that causes you to desire more and more of that type of living. And as you walk that path, may you find the filling that Jesus promises. Grace and peace to you this week, my friends.